Welcome to What's That About? Today we are discussing self-driving cars, which would be great. Gives me a lot more time to, I don't know. Nah, damn it.
I reckon it was only, 18 months ago that I actually figured out how to use the cruise control on my car. And whenever I use it, it still feels a little bit freaky. And my legs are just kind of dangling off the edge of the seat like I'm a Muppet hanging off a wall. And I don't really know.
I just don't know what to do with my legs.
Yeah, exactly right. They're just sitting there
suddenly become useless. Yeah.
So while I'm getting used to cruise control, I turn around and see that Google has now made a car which has driven across America by itself and did about 99% of the driving without a human touching a steering wheel or a button. So we're on the brink of self-driving cars. It's pretty exciting times, Donovan.
It is exciting. It's just getting closer to, you know, just being in the world of the Jetsons, which I'm a big fan of.
Oh, who isn't? But even the Jetsons, he was driving that thing. It was in the air.
Was he?
But he was controlling it. He had his little steering wheel and it was putting away.
On the way to Spacely Sprockets?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That's amazing.
So what do you know about self-driving cars? What are we dealing with here?
Well, I know, depending on who you asked, some people say it really started kicking into gear, or the whole concept of car automation in the 80s when you had things like anti-lock brakes, stability control, and, you know, I think, as you mentioned, cruise control is sort of part of that as well.
It only took me 25 years to catch on to cruise control.
Yeah, cruise control.
My fingers on the pulse.
I've only just recently had a car new enough to have cruise control. I just got electric windows is exciting for me. It, you know, when you're a kid and electric windows is like, this is the future.
It really was.
It was amazing.
If you had electric windows and we were growing up, you were the richest family in town.
We just had, you know, we just had to the old-fashioned wind down.
Yeah, it would take 20 minutes to kind of get your window up and you'd get a little cramp in your arm. That was the...
I tell you what, though. I had guns when I was 10-year-old. Because some of those windows were so hard to wind up and down. It was like a workout every trip.
That is so true. So, kind of kicked off in the 80s with elements of the car being automated. And then you push on, you know, 30-odd years now. And they've made cars which drive themselves by having sensors and GPS and cameras which navigate the environment without human input. That's kind of how far we've come, which is pretty exciting.
It's crazy time. Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually, because essentially what you're going to have, it's just going to be like a second bedroom, really. You're going to have a sitting space, TV. You may not even have to wear a seatbelt. I don't know. The thing that if they're all self-driving cars on the road, safety is going to go, you know, through the roof.
Yeah, exactly right. In terms of insurance and all the implications of all of that, it'd be massive. Well, the thing I think is really interesting, though, is they did a survey when they asked people, like, would you be interested in driving or being in a self-driving car? And most people said, nah, not interested. I like driving in the car. The manual car was even the preferred type of car. And people aren't keen in self-driving
cars. Where did they do this survey? Where was the survey done? I reckon they went down to the local lawn bowling facility and over cucumber sandwiches. Beryl, are you interested in a self-driving car? Nah. That's about it.
How did she sound again?
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Too old, no interest.
What's interesting for me is, you know how it's kind of, when you think about, because one of the reasons people didn't like it was because they think it's going to be more dangerous and you can't trust the software was the main reason that people didn't like it.
And that is, I think that's a genuine concern.
Well, it's interesting though, because the self-driving cars that they've put into the market have never caused an accident. It's always people driving into them through human error. And
that's true. I think, yeah, there's obviously software based and there will be glitches. And I think it's also obvious they're going to have a lot of very sound safety mechanisms to it. So
that's right. It's the thing. It's like one of those, what do you call it? Like an emission bias, where you think, I can see why a self-driving car would cause an accident, therefore it's dangerous. But you omit the knowledge that we have tens of thousands of car accidents already under a human operated system. So as long as you're not comparing it to no accidents, you're comparing it to the baseline. So will there be less? I think there will be.
I've heard like 90% reduction in accidents.
Yeah, that's enormous.
That's pretty good. That's a lot of lives saved.
Yeah, I think the, like, to me, what's interesting about it is there's this, almost like the psychology of risk perception, where there's, it's not just based on the likelihood of a problem happening. There's also how much control you feel you have over it. So it's like people are anxious flying in planes because the probability is low, but the control is low, whereas people are more comfortable driving in cars, even though the likelihood of an accident is higher than it is in a plane. You feel you've got more control over it because you're in the driver's seat. So it's kind of...
Yeah, it's like an unrealistic view of their own ability, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, the perception, perception of being able to control the outcome somehow when really it's not the full picture.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like that as well. You always feel a bit safer when you're in the driver's seat.
Oh, I hate being in the passenger seat.
Yeah. Well, you have this weird thing where if you're driving, even on a 20-hour trip, you won't let your wife drive.
Doesn't need to.
Doesn't... It's so weird.
I don't get tired. My hands are... I'm at 10 and 2. I'm comfortable. She's comfortable. Everyone's happy.
I think you're a robot. That's the only possible way. Because I'll get in a car. As soon as I sit down, I'm... You know, if there was a pillow around, I'd be having a nap straight away. I just get really dozy.
I have this thing.
You're like the Terminator.
If I'm not lying fully horizontal, I can't sleep. So in a chair, really? I'll never sleep in a chair. So in a car, I'm laughing.
Gee, it's impressive. Part of me is like, it's unsafe. Part of me is like,
that's bloody awesome.
20 hours straight. That's insane.
It's pretty crazy. So what are the pros and cons, do you reckon?
Well, I've got a bit of a list here. So there's a few. Some of the advantages they say is that, as we mentioned, decreased traffic collisions caused by human driving errors, increased roadway capacity and reduced traffic congestion due to the reduced need for safety gaps.
Because that ability to kind of monitor traffic flow, so if I'm coming home from work, it'll shoot me a different direction depending on what it knows is happening in other areas.
Yeah. And what they'll also is the cars will be able to communicate with each other.
Well, that's good.
So if there's a car coming and they go, okay, don't... It's kind of like a sophisticated version of the, you know, the flashing the lights thing when there's a police car ahead.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, that's the only communication that can be done these days. Bit of a flash and then the obligatory wave afterwards. Thanks, mate. That's on the road.
It's funny how we try to communicate with like aliens in space is by flashing things. That's what we do on the road as well. So the only thing you've got is the flash of the lights.
That and the horn.
Yeah, that's true. I never feel more part of a community when someone gives me a warning that the cops are around the corner.
I know.
We're all in this together, guys. It's good.
Yeah. Kumbaya, everyone. This is great. I actually stopped doing it because I'm like, you know what? I got kids in the car. If they're speeding, I'm not going to warn them if they're speeding. They can just cop a ticket and maybe learn a lesson.
I agree. 100%. Yeah, I don't do it either.
It's pretty nerdy of me, though.
Nah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It was, I guess, one of the other advantages is drivers are freed up to do other things other than drive. But for the life of me, I couldn't think what I would do. Like, if you're in a confined small space.
It's just more TV time.
That's
the only thing I could... TV or phone. Look, I haven't checked Facebook in the last 5 minutes. It's done.
So my wife always goes, oh, I better get up to date with the news. And she goes onto the news feed.
The news feed. Did she say that?
That's true, though.
Another thing, there's a reduction for physical space required for parking because you don't need to park. The car can drop you off and then just go like 10 kilometres away if it needs to be. Like, it's not a big deal.
Oh, I can drop you at the door and then move. Oh, that's good.
And then park, like anywhere.
That's interesting. It's almost
really cool.
Can you imagine, though, like there will be a day when you essentially, you don't have taxis, you don't have public transport, you just have a large number, like a fleet of self-driving cars that you just walk onto the street, you step into one, it takes you where you want to go, you move off, and it's like kind of like Uber, but it's all automated.
Yeah, and Uber is, people theorize, they're going to be the people that bring it in because they're a pretty forward-thinking kind of company. They're going to be the first people that do automated car, or like... Sorry, self-driving cars. Eventually, they're saying people won't really even own cars. Yeah, as you said, it's going to be a fleet of cars under a company that you subscribe to, and then you use that to get around instead of owning your own car.
Good. They should just test it with little, you know, those little Roomba vacuum cleaners. That'd be the safest way to test a little prototype of how that would work in a community.
A Roomba?
You know, those little Roomba things.
What are you testing? I don't get it.
Just put like a little Lego man on the Roomba and let it go around and
gotcha.
Just see whether that would, just a little proof of concept.
I like it. It's like a scaled down version.
Yeah. You don't want to try with actual humans to begin with.
Yeah. Other implication, road rage. What are angry people going to get angry at now?
It's true.
Road rage is just going to go. A good thing, to be sure. But, you know, whenever I'm in the car, I'm not a road rage person, but everyone gets annoyed sometimes in the car at other people's things. I turn into a 1970s bogan when I'm in the car. I use the same slang. Oh, you galah. Oh, the car's a bloody galah. I never say galah any other time. pull your head in galah.
I just turn into a really, really patronizing male. Like, I'll be like, oh, come on, love. Come on, love. Come on,
love. Yeah, you're sexist. Yeah.
Start mansplaining.
Yeah. Come on, darling. Come on, you can fit in that car park, mate. Come on. It's really bad. It's terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Do you remember that time that...
Just another thing. Did you just use the term mansplaining?
I tried it on for size. It's the first time I've ever used it.
You're a galah, mate. You're an absolute galah for using that term.
You know, you try using a word, like a catchy new term once, and you're like,
yeah,
that didn't feel good at all. Like, I'm never going to use that again.
Yeah. Well, you got to try it on. Yeah.
Do you remember that time that one of your friends came to pick you up at our house, and at the last minute we've gone, oh, let's play a trick on him. So I got dressed up in your clothes and put your hat on and then ran down and got in the car. And then he started driving off thinking that it was you in the car. And I, in my panic to get into the car, I forgot to put shoes on. And he's gone, oh, why are you wearing no shoes?
I don't like them.
That was my quick-witted reply in the moment, was I just don't like them.
And then you just got out of the car again, didn't you?
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, I don't think Tim even mentioned it when I got in. When I finally got in, he didn't mention it.
From my memory, when I said, we got like around two corners and I said, oh, I'm not done, you idiot, like turn around. And he kind of went, oh, okay. And then like drove back and then you got in and didn't say anything.
He didn't say a thing. It was like it didn't happen. I'm convinced we may have dreamt it up.
That's ridiculous.
Very, very funny.
Something I don't think I'm ready for a driverless car because... I've just mastered cruise control, so I'm not really an early adopter.
Yeah,
I just tried that phrase on for the first time as well.
Which one, early adopter?
An early adopter, yeah. Hmm. That was all right. Came out a little bit better than mansplaining.
A lot better.
The other thing I only learned the other day was, you know, when you go to a petrol station and you need to remember what side of your car is your petrol tank on.
Mm.
On the petrol gauge, apparently there's a little triangle that points in the direction of the you know where you need to put the pump in.
Yeah, I know.
I've been 33
years. Someone told me about
it
a year ago. Yeah, it's not widely advertised. I don't know why.
There needs to be a community service announcement around that little triangle.
I just thought it was just there because it's triangles are nice.
It's a little design feature.
You might as well just put. Yeah, it's like a.
But I've been looking at a dash at least as a driver for 16 years. Mm. Never noticed a little triangle.
Yeah, I know. It's odd.
That's
very helpful.
Yeah.
Because every now and again, you go up to fill out your tank, and 99% of the time you remember, every now and again, you're like, oh, what car am I in again?
Yeah.
Where is it? Which side?
Exactly right.
Another possible advantage, I think, really, is that you don't really need windows. So you can have sort of opaque windows if you want, which is my biggest bugbear. Just try that on for size. My biggest bugbear is... don't really know what it means. It may not be appropriate, but it's when you pull up to a red light and then you know the person in the car next to you. So you're looking to the left and then you make eye contact. And all you can do is go, oh, hey. You sort of Marceau like a, hey, how you going? And after that, there's no more possible communication that can be had. It's just the most awkward thing in the world. You're looking around, you start sweating. It's the longest red light you've ever seen in your life. Just go green, go green. Bloody hell. And then you just start this weird, you know, you start,
you pretend that terrible. You're changing the channel on the radio. Or...
Oh, yeah. And then you, suddenly you're paying a lot of attention to your fingernails, maybe. It's awkward. It's just the longest. I think time actually slows down during that moment.
It must do.
It is terrible.
It must do.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest advantage of the self-driving car, hey? You stop those awkward traffic light moments.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely terrible.
Do you have any more pros or cons?
Yeah, I've got a few. Here are a few cons or potential obstacles to it being successful. So you've got liability for damage. What's going to happen then if, like, there's a software glitch or something and then there's an accident? How are you going to attribute blame? Or who's liable for that? Are you going to try and sue the auto company?
Yeah, it's massive. Like, I think we'll come back to the kind of the whole ethics around decision-making in self-driving cars. But you're right. That is between the insurer, the automaker, and the owner. That's a nightmare to kind of, proportion blame there.
Yeah, yeah. So things like that. And then just, you know, general legislation regarding and government regulations will take a while to catch up. To be honest, the cons aren't that bad. There's not many of them.
I think self-driving cars win this challenge.
Yeah. One of them is some people theorize that self-driving cars could potentially be loaded with explosives and used as bombs.
As current cars can as well.
That's right. But I guess they can...
I guess then you could hack the software that controls cars to make them kind of drive off cliffs and stuff. I guess if you were a savvy tech terrorist kind of person.
Savvy tech.
Hey, I tried that phrase on Versailles. It didn't work.
Savvy. I'm using some pretty good words.
Pretty good with my words tonight. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
The issue of software reliability, though, not in terms of a hacking it sense, but just in... There's very few things in terms of, like, you know, websites crash all the time. They can't handle too much traffic. Like, things... Like, technology that's been around for a very long time... Still, we haven't mastered how to get things to work well all the time. And that's basic things like a website. How are we going to get this reliable enough for cars to be driving around? That's not going to happen anytime soon, I don't think.
I think that, you know, the military has drones and things that are pretty sophisticated. I think the technology exists. It's just whether they're
resourcing
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's true.
So, yeah, Google's working on it. Apple is reportedly working on it. I don't think they've ever said anything. But they've been hiring a lot of car guys. That's the word around town.
It's a real race, isn't it?
Yeah. And then a lot of the traditional car manufacturers have been in denial. And I think they've realized now that this is the future. But a lot of them are like, no. They want to drive cars and things like that. But it's a bit of a race now.
It's funny though, because I was reading all the stuff around, you know, Google's got little... kind of beta versions on the road that they're driving across America. And I'm like, wow, this is really, really soon. And there are lots of other companies that have similar cars that they're testing. And then I saw that there's some towns in the UK that are kind of running a public trial of a series of driverless pods. I was getting all excited. And then I read this guy who said, you know, the prospect of a fully self-driving car anytime soon is pure science fiction. And he was like one of the head driving research guys at one of the big kind of automated car kind of organizations. So that was a bit of a dampener, a bit of a rain on my parade.
We should have just mentioned that at the beginning of the episode and just signed off on a 30-second episode.
It's just not going to happen, pure guys. Science fiction.
Yep. Thanks a lot. See you next week. Apparently there's a company, a relatively new company that's, I think it's an American-based one called Tesla, which they're pretty sort of techie. I think the CEO's a tech guy. And they reckon they're going to have a car that operates on autopilot 90% of the time by this year, 2016. So, bold.
That's bold.
I don't know, but he's calling it. So, 90% is pretty good.
I wonder if they're going to do it. Like, you know how there are cars that have that automatic braking within kind of, if you're going less than 30 k's an hour, it will automatically stop before you hit something. I wonder whether they're going to gradually phase in elements of automation until, you know, we hit a tipping point and people just accept, okay, now we have self-driving cars. It's not going to be a big kind of bang, new car on the road thing.
You're probably right. And I think is it Mercedes or BMW have that, and Volvo have their self-parking car. You sort of press this parking button and then just parks itself.
Oh, have you been in a car that's done that?
No, have you?
Yeah, I've been in one. It is amazing.
Yeah, right. That does it pretty well.
Yeah, like you just sit there going, whoa! And it kind of just takes...
It's like a roller coaster.
It's better than a roller coaster. It's so good.
Wow. Yeah. So they're pretty common these days, I take it.
Yes, yeah, they're really good. Pretty the Volvos and those kind of European cars seem to be smashing it.
And do they have electric windows as well?
Ooh, I don't think they're that advanced.
Okay. That's a bugbear, I tell you that
much. Science fiction, Don.
You can't have both. There's too much technology. Yeah.
The big thing with the self-driving car, though, seems to be ethical decision-making. And the classic kind of thought experiment I throw up around this is a car that's driving towards a group of pedestrians. And the only option for the car is to either drive itself off a cliff or crash into the pedestrians. And what should the car do? What's the ethical choice in that situation?
That's a good point.
Again, there's no easy answer because it's kind of the tension point seems to be one approach is you just kill the least number of people is the one philosophy. And the other philosophy is you know, spare the people that have the least responsibility for the situation. In that case, often it's the people in the car who get the bad end of the stick then, and then the pedestrians get let off, so to speak. But there's no easy answers to those kind of ethical dilemmas.
Yeah, that's a classic ethical dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's called the trolley problem. It's been around for a long time. But it did remind me of, and I'm not sure if I ever spoke to you about this, and this is not a funny story at all, but I reckon it was one of the top three or four memorable moments from my entire schooling life. We had this teacher who told this story about a truck driver who was flying down to the coast and his brakes failed and he was going too fast. So he went up near those ramps off
the... Flying?
Driving a truck.
He was flying? Oh, driving, sorry.
Yeah. Driving a truck and, you know, they have those big ramps that come off those really, really kind of steep kind of mountain roads for when trucks' brakes don't work. They can go up these ramps and just slow down naturally.
Yeah.
His brakes weren't working and he went up the ramp to slow down. But as he got onto the ramp, for some reason, a family had decided to have a picnic on the ramp, not thinking.
Yeah.
So this truck driver is flying up the ramp and realizing I'm not going to be able to stop. So he has this decision to make. And in this is apparently a true story. He then just drove his truck off the cliff to spare the family. And it was kind of this real life example of the philosophy. I think it's utilitarianism. The philosophy, and that's what it was in situation, was I'm going to kill myself to spare the family. One of the most, it was year 9 and the whole class was just hanging on every word, and the way the teacher told it was just the most amazing storytelling. Ah, it was phenomenal in a very, very sad story, but it was, it was pretty powerful.
Good bloke.
Ah, amazing.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. I'd do that as well. shouldn't make a lot of it. It's, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty phenomenal. So that's self-driving cars. They might be out soon. They might not be out soon. We don't really know. No one knows.
What happened to your voice? Something weird happened to you.
I was doing a burp mid-talking. Let's start again.
That was weird. It's that's really weird.
Thank you very much for listening.
See you next week.